I'm gonna float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. George can't hit what his hands can't see. Now you see me, now you don't. He think he will, but I know he won't. They tell me George is good, but I'm twice as nice. And I'm gonna stick to his butt like white old rice.
To the Gerwick Report podcast with Steve Gerwick, Frank D, and Gerwick.net Hall of Famer Theodore R. Long.
It is Wednesday, June the 8th, 2016. I am Steve Gerwick of www.gerwick.net, your source for all your pro wrestling news since 1997. I want to welcome you back to the latest edition of the Gerwick Report podcast, the podcast that tells it like it is. And we have a big show today because he's back from his trip on Monday Night Raw. We're going to get to him just momentarily. But real quickly, let me tag in my longtime tag team partner, Frank D.
Hey, what's up, Steve? How you doing, man?
You know, Frank, I was watching TV Monday night, and one of the guys that we've been working with here on the GRP was strangely on my television, and I was getting all kinds of tweets and text messages and said, did you know that GRP is being represented on Raw Monday night?
Wait a minute.
Wait, what?
You're kidding me. Holla, holla, holla.
Oh, he's back.
The player, Teddy Long. Theodore Rufus Long is back.
Get it, Teddy.
I love it.
Well, you know something, Steve? I knew about it on Friday when I called this man right here, but I kept it tight-lipped, you know what I'm saying? You can't let it out. But the man that completes this triple threat is the former general manager of SmackDown, might be general manager of SmackDown once it goes live next month, the one and only Gerwick.net Hall of Famer and future WWE Hall of Famer, the one and only Mr. Teddy Long. What's going on, player?
Hey, what's going on, players? All I'm doing is holla, holla, hollin' for the dollar, dollar, dollar. Believe that.
And I saw that dollar, dollar, dollar you tried to give Stephanie on Monday, man.
She turned me down. She wouldn't take my money.
Yeah, she sure did turn you down.
Teddy, let's start off right here because I know a lot of people want to know how this all came about. What was your Monday night experience like going back in front of the WWE Universe live crowd there, Monday Night Raw, the A Show, the Big Show, and I guess ultimately, how did it feel to be back on stage and before the universe again?
Well, you know, it really felt good. You know, to me, it was kind of, you know, like I never left, you know, because I just walked right in the door and I just fit right in. But, you know, I got a call and they asked me to come back to Raw, you know, and do some stuff that would relate to maybe me being the next general manager of SmackDown when it goes live. I don't know whether that's going to happen or not. You know, I haven't been told anything, but as far as I know, is what I did on Monday night on Raw, that's probably all I'm going to be doing. And maybe when I was kicked out, maybe you've seen the last of me. So I don't know. We just have to sit back and wait. But I really had a great experience. I enjoyed going back and seeing some of the guys. I had a chance to meet my favorite, Enzo and Cass. I love them. And, you know, I was real receptive. A lot of guys glad to see me and, you know, was wanting me, asking me, hey, man, are you back? Are you coming back? Man, please come back, you know, and like I said, that's not my decision, but I did get a good review from Vince. He was really happy with what I did. So we'll just have to sit back and wait and see, you know what I mean? And if that's what they want, I'm willing to go back and do what I do. And if that's not what they want, then we're going to continue doing what we do right here on the GRP.
A couple of quick questions here. Were you A, surprised they called you on Friday or at the end of the last week to bring you back? And when they did call you, did you have some idea what they wanted you to do on television on Monday night?
Well, I was really surprised to get the call, you know, because I've always said, you know, I probably would never go back to work there, you know, and I've just settled in with that, you know, and I don't worry about it, you know, whether I do or not. But like I said, I was surprised. I had no idea what I was doing. They didn't tell me anything. They just told me that they needed me to come to the Raw TV, and that was it. And so when I got there, then that's when I found out, you know, what they wanted me to do.
When you got to Raw on Monday and you did see the script and went over what you were going to say and what they wanted you to say and how they wanted you to deliver it, what did you think of the script? Did you think it was you were well portrayed on television? And just overall, what did you think of how you came off for your appearance on Monday night?
Well, you know, basically, you know, my feeling about it, you know, it's a TV show. And what I went out and did, you know, that's what I was told to do. So I enjoyed doing what I did. Some parts of the script I really enjoyed. The one that I did with Stephanie with the dollar. I also enjoyed coming out doing my favorite deal when I came out and made the the tag team match, and then the security escorted me off. I thought that was great. The last one we did where Stephanie kind of berated me and, you know, talked about me real bad and called me old and stuff, and then they kicked me out, you know, that didn't bother me because I know, you know, it's TV and that's, you know, it's like a movie. So, you know, I'm just there to do what I'm told. So other than that, I had no problem with it, man. You know, I've always been a person that ever since I worked at Vince, and I think that's how I stayed in general manager for so long, I never gave him a problem about anything that I was asked to do because my understanding is I know it's not real. And also, you know, I was getting a check and it paid my bills. So my thing is, you know, I didn't have any problem with it. It didn't bother me. I was just glad, you know, that they did call me. You know, I'm still on the radar. They're still thinking about me, and that means a lot, too. So, like I said, I had no problem with nothing I did. I know there are a lot of people out there that think that some of the stuff wasn't good and stuff, but that's your opinion, you know, and like I said, it's television. So other than that, that's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah, Frank, you know, follow up from our last podcast. I got to get your opinion on this. Did they bury our man Teddy Long on Monday night?
Oh, see, they most definitely did bury him in that last segment. You know, matter of fact, several segments. I didn't really enjoy it myself other than seeing Teddy on Raw, you know, taking his rightful place on the show where, he should be. But other than that, as far as the whole exchange and that dialogue there, it kind of hit, to me, kind of personal just because of the stuff that we've talked about here and talked about offline with Teddy as far as the whole thing about, you know, being old and all that type of shit. It's just, I think a lot of the stuff, they went too far there. So, yeah, I think he was buried on the show. And I don't see how you can come back from that. I mean, now it's like, okay, yeah, it did phenomenal business for you. You were trending on Facebook. You were trending on Twitter. I guess it did its job there. But I don't see how creatively they can bring you back after being berated by Stephanie, unless, you know, you come back with Shane McMahon or something like that in the future. I mean, I don't see it right now, though. So, to be honest with you, I think you were buried.
Well, Frank, I certainly value your opinion, you know what I mean? And, you know, I got no problem with that, you know, of how you feel, because that's your opinion. But there's a way that, you know, you can be brought back, you know what I mean? There's always a way that Vince can figure out something to do to bring me back, because I did a lot of things when I was there with Vicky Guerrero, which I thought buried me, you know, a lot of stuff that she did. But I was always able to come back and revive myself and, you know, and be the Teddy Long that, you know, the people want. So there's a way that they can do it, you know, to bring me back, you know, if that's what they want to do. So, you know, like I said, you know, I just went and did what I was supposed to do, and I didn't mind doing it. I had a great time, and I had a lot of fun.
But, you know, the thing I have a problem with, too, when it comes down to what I saw Monday night with you and Stephanie as far as the exchange backstage was simply this. You know, Stephanie McMahon just got on Charlotte's ass for doing the same exact thing to Ric Flair. And then all of a sudden, it's okay for her to do it to you. So from a continuity level, it just doesn't make any damn sense, whatever. I mean, Stephanie was in pure bitch mode on Monday for some reason. I don't know what, you know, why that was, because she's been kind of playing it straight in the middle for the last couple weeks on TV. So I don't know what it was about this past Monday where she needed to heal up on you. I mean, you know, from a storyline perspective, you're a former general manager of SmackDown, and it's kind of like, who let this guy in the damn door? Like, how did this guy get past security? I didn't really care for it. It made no sense to me at all. I didn't care for it.
Well, I guess at the bottom line is it's wrestling. I know some people had problems with the six participants in the Money in the Bank match standing on a ladder. On the surface, why would these six guys agree to stand on ladders and have a debate? Because you knew ultimately it was going to end in a mayhem.
And we knew this was going to happen with six men on ladders inside the ring.
Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Why does a lot of things that we see happen? That's the question.
I mean, I think it's like this, too. You know, there's a lot of, like you said, it's a TV show. We get that. But there's a lot of personal stuff that goes into putting on this scripted wrestling show. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of politics that go into play here. And that's my little thing, too. I just felt, you know, and like you respect my opinion, I respect yours as well. Just for me looking at it and just, you know, us talking or whatever, you know, since you've been doing GRP, it's just really a lot of stuff you were saying and a lot of stuff that we kind of joke about here on the podcast, it was playing out right there on Monday night with all the comments that was being said and how that ironically got into the script. Because they've never said anything about you like this before on the TV, as far as I can remember. They never brought up, you know, age or any of that type of shit. And all of a sudden now, oh, we're going to bring it up now. It didn't make any sense to me. I'm like, that's highly suspect when they do shit like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, they do what they do.
And, you know, too, I was talking to Frank over the weekend after we found out you were going to be on Raw, and we kept it quiet. We didn't say anything, and out of respect to you and the show, and something, you know, Frank and I had talked about was, well, if they're bringing back Teddy, you know, we're trying to speculate, what would they do with you on television on Raw? And, of course, the previous week they had teased that they were going to split up the New Day. So I said to Frank, well, maybe they're just going to do the storyline where they're just going to bring back old general managers and they'll say, I want to be the SmackDown general manager. I found out on Tuesday night SmackDown is going live. I want to be on the show. We expect to see Johnny Laurinaitis on the show, maybe Eric Bischoff, Vicky Guerrero, etc. And to me, Frank, after I watched the show Monday, that's kind of the direction I thought they were going, and that every week maybe they bring back a former general manager who makes their case for why they should be the SmackDown general manager, and then ultimately a decision will have to be made.
I mean, they're obviously going in that direction, but I just think when it comes back to Teddy Long, it was just, to me, the stuff that they did with Teddy on Monday, it was just a waste of an appearance. I mean, they could have done so much more. I mean, the guy was the longest tenured general manager, you know, in SmackDown. Kind of like with Eric Bischoff. I think if you look back, who was the greatest Raw general manager? To me, it was Eric Bischoff. You're going to bring, I mean, my thing is this. Let's see how this plays out in the coming weeks. If they bring, you know, Johnny Ace on Monday night, let's see how, if he gets the Teddy Long treatment. Or if they bring back Eric Bischoff, let's see if Eric Bischoff gets the Teddy Long treatment. Probably not, because Bischoff has a DVD coming out. And as far as I know, Johnny Ace is, I guess he's married to one of the Bella Twins' mother, so he's probably going to get the Teddy Long treatment. That's one of the reasons why I didn't like it. It felt too personal to me when it comes down to it. But if that's the direction they're going in, and they want to have this guy come in and that guy come in, or this woman come in and fight for the general manager of SmackDown and try to make SmackDown, you know, an A show, trying to make, you know, bring something back about some feeling towards SmackDown and make SmackDown feel special, then by all means, they're going to do what they have to do. Because right now, to me, SmackDown is like WCW Thunder back then. That's how it is.
Well, you know what I mean? Like I said, you know, in the past, you know, they certainly got to do something, you know, to get that show kicked off the ground. And, the direction that they're going in, you know, I'm not blowing my own horn, but I feel that if I did go back to SmackDown, I certainly could help that live show, because, I mean, from the response that I got, you know, that's what the people really want. But, you know, who knows what they want to do and what they're going to do. But like I said, you know, I certainly could be a big help to SmackDown.
Well, I'll say this. I enjoy doing the podcast with you, Teddy. Something we look forward to. I know Frank and I look forward to it every single week. You're on the show, and we can kick around new ideas and catch up on what's going on in wrestling and have a great dialogue, great insight from you, you know, different perspectives. But if tomorrow they call you and you're going to go back to SmackDown, I'm all for it. I'd love to see you back on that show. I know we'd probably end up losing you in that capacity, but you know, at the end of the day, I mean, you have to make what's the best business decision for you. You know, when you got the call on Monday, or actually we got the call last week to be on show on Monday, I was really hoping, you know, over the weekend, I was like, well, I'd love to see something happen with Teddy. He's back on the show Monday night, and now he's going to be on Tuesday nights live. That would be great. But I have to say, that last segment, when you're walking out the door, and I told you this yesterday when I talked to you on the phone, it just felt like that was the end, that they said, okay, Teddy, we brought you back. We had this storyline for the night where we're going to play up. You're going to make the case. You're going to be the SmackDown general manager. But with you walking out that door on Monday night, it really felt like that was it for Teddy. I mean, you could always make a pop-up appearance here and there, but from my perspective of watching it more as a fan than an insider, it just felt like that was the end of Teddy Long and that would be your Sonara. That was it. They said, okay, thank you. Thank you for coming back, Teddy, but now we're just moving on.
Well, yeah, that's the way I feel about it, too. If that's the end of Teddy Long for WWE, that's fine with me. If they're moving on, I'm going to move on. You know, I'm going to move on to big and better things, too, because, like I said, with the response that I got, if the WWE don't want me, then there's somebody that does. So I'm going to move on with my life, too. So, like I said, I appreciate them bringing me back and giving me the opportunity to be on their TV once again. But like life goes on, you know, and so I got to move on and they have to move on. So, once again, I thank them for everything, but I'm going to move on with my life, too.
What you just said there, Steve, the last segment with Teddy walking out is just very reminiscent of that last segment with Ric Flair when he was walking out. And that's just kind of how I got with that. And they're talking about the new era and the new era, and it's like, I don't see it other than, you know, them bringing in, you know, talents like AJ Styles and all that and all these NXT guys coming up. It's the same damn flavor of the show. Still cutting these long-winded promos throughout the show. And, you know, I don't see a new era here. I don't get it. Just because SmackDown goes live, yeah, I'm all for it and all for the brand extension and all for them having another world champion and all that. That's all great and dandy. But once again, I mean, I just don't see a new area. I see the same shit.
Teddy and I were talking yesterday, and we were just having a conversation. Teddy was trending. Monday night on Twitter, you were blowing up Twitter, trending, and I saw you retweeting all these great comments. And then yesterday on Facebook, it said, retired wrestler Teddy Long comes out of retirement to be on Raw, and you're trending on Facebook the next day. It's Tuesday now. And you're still, you know, trending on social media. It would just seem like it would be a natural to tap into that because they do definitely push social media. They're always pushing hashtags and follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, etc. And man, I tell you, player, you were over. And then you were telling me too how many followers you also gained by making that appearance. It just seemed like it'd be a natural. With them banking in on or cashing in on social media, I mean, you were big time over the last couple of days on social media.
Well, it's like I said, Steve, I don't know what to tell you. You know, I really don't. You know, and I feel like this. You know, if they don't capitalize on it, they don't want it, then that's them. I'm going to use it to my advantage. I'm going to take it and move on and make my career better. I'll use it to my own advantage, but. You know, if they don't want me back there, that's fine. They got to move on, and I'm going to move on.
Yeah, Frank, they had the hashtag. It came from WWE. It was hashtag Teddy Long running SmackDown Live. And I also saw a little article where they put up, you know, Teddy Long back, ? You know, on WWE.com. So I don't know. Was this all storyline, or do you actually think there's a possibility we could see Teddy Long back on WWE television, or as you were saying before with the Ric Flair situation, maybe they're just kind of writing him out of the picture.
It's hard to say right now, Steve. I mean, you know, here's the bottom line. I'm looking at it from a fan's point of view, and I'm just calling it like what I didn't like about it. But if Teddy's cool with it, then, you know, there's no harm done. Me personally, though, I don't really see how he can come back from that. I mean, like you said, though, Vince McMahon, he came up with a creative way to bring him back. I mean, they came up with this whole campaign about Teddy Long and, oh, can Teddy Long, you know, is he back? Can he run a SmackDown or whatever? That's all fine and dandy. But they didn't have to pretty much berate the guy and belittle the guy on the way out the door. I mean, what was the purpose of that? That's what I'm having a problem with. What's up with that? They could have done something. I mean, you brought the guy in just for Stephanie McMahon to berate him and emasculate him like she does everybody else on the show without him getting his heat back, without him saying a damn thing back. I don't get that. So what did they, I mean, it got, you know, Teddy trending off on social media. That's all fine and dandy and all that, but I just don't get it. It's kind of like with like the New Day. The New Day to me is stale. It's whack now. You know what I'm saying? It was cool and funny in the beginning, but it's like, okay, when the New Day is over with and they're over and done, how the hell do you come back from that? I mean, how can I take a guy like Big E, who's coming out there with unicorn dicks on his head, okay, and wearing rainbows and shit, how am I supposed to take this guy seriously as a contender for a World Heavyweight Championship? when they got him out there gyrating his hips and shit like Rick Rude and all that. I mean, how do I take that seriously? So that's where I come back to with Teddy Long. It's like, how can I take this seriously when they just put the guy down? You know what I'm saying? I don't get that. How do you come back from that? Because they'll just be like, well, this guy, he was a former general manager of SmackDown, but it don't mean shit because look how Stephanie Man just talked to him like he was a piece of trash. It didn't mean a damn thing.
Well, I got no comment. I don't know what to tell you.
Let me ask you this, Teddy. You were backstage. You've not been backstage at a WWE event in a while. How did it feel to be back with some of your old colleagues, friends? Obviously, you got to meet some people you've never met before. Enzo and Cass, obviously a couple of guys that you've been putting over pretty strongly here on the podcast. Just how did it feel to be backstage again?
Well, when you've done this as long as I've done it, and whether you've gone, you know, whether you'd be gone for a year, 2 years, or whatever, I'll speak for myself. I don't know about how anybody else feels. But when I walked in that door, it was just like, to me, that I'd never left. I went right in, did the same thing I did 2 years before I left. I walked in, I put my bags down, I ran into some people, and I did the same thing I do when I was there working. I shook hands and talked to everybody and, you know, joked around with people, went to catering, had a little bit of meal, and then went and found the writers and found out exactly what I had to do. So it wasn't like I just didn't feel like I'd even been away, because I just went back, did the same thing, because I knew how things operate, and I knew what you got to do. I was there on time for rehearsals, because I knew, you know, how important that is. So I just didn't feel any different about it at all, man. It was just like, hey, another day at the job, let me knock this out and get out of here.
Let me ask you this also. Reaction, you were talking about Vince McMahon praised you after the show and thought it was, you know, really good. He liked what you did on Monday night. What was the overall reaction from, you know, backstage and some of the colleagues you have there, friends, and just the general reaction from the fan base out there, the Teddy Long fan base and your family? What did they think once you got home?
Well, my family and my grandkids loved it. You know, they love wrestling, so they were just like, well, because a couple of them now that they hadn't had it, they wasn't born, so they didn't get a chance to see me on TV. So this time they had a chance to do that. So the little one, EJ, he was just ecstatic, you know. So they were real happy. My wife was happy. But and when I went backstage, a lot of the guys back there, man, especially the crew people, the guys that work behind the scene, man, are you coming back, man? Golly, man, good to see you. Good to see you back. You back? And, you know, I just had to tell them, you know, well, no, I'm not. I have no idea, you know, what's going on. I know I'm here to do this and tonight, and that's all I know. And like I said, at the end, Vince was happy with my performance. You know, he congratulated me and thanked me, and I also thanked him. And Triple H, he thanked me, too. He was, you know, he was real nice and everything. And so Stephanie, was after that, she was real, you know, receptive to me, too. So they treated me nice, you know, and that's all I can, you know, that's all I can go by.
You got some nice backstage photos with, what, Lillian and Natalia, and it looked like everybody was just happy to see you back, Teddy. That's what it looked like from the pictures there.
Yes, it was. Yes, they was. Everybody was happy. I mean, everybody that I walked up to me, I mean, even some of the guys that didn't even know me, that were not even there working when I was there, you know, they were just saying, you know, well, we always, you know, wanted to meet you, man. What an honor it is, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. And could we take a picture with you and stuff like that? So I was treated real well.
You know, Frank, too, we brought up, you know, we've been talking about for weeks here the old phrase was from Triple H saying that he's a dinosaur, they don't want him back, and then what he was called, what, a bag of bones on Monday night from Jericho. And it seemed like, you know, were they listening to the podcast? And then there was a picture of Teddy standing right next to a WWE Network logo. And of course, we talked about the network a few weeks ago, reference to the $9.99, and was it worth it? And I don't know, Frank, it just kind of felt like maybe they had been listening to the GRP.
Well, you know, if they had to listen to the GRP, that would be, you know, phenomenal. But I don't know, man. It's just a lot of shit happened on Monday night. Yeah, kind of coincidental, I don't know. But speaking, Steve, of the WWE Network for just $9.99, or you get a free month, your first free month.
How much is it?
$9.99,
okay.
Right.
So I remember that.
Okay, $9.99. We have a TakeOver special tonight. It's NXT TakeOver The End from Full Sail University. So going to go through this real quick here. For the NXT Championship, we got Samoa Joe defending the championship against Finn Balor in the first ever NXT cage match. So that's going to be pretty good there. We have Shinsuke Nakamura taking on Austin Aries. You got Asuka defending the NXT Women's Championship against Nia Jax. And we also have American Alpha defending the NXT Tag Team Championships against The Revival. And that's going to be tonight on the WWE Network NXT TakeOver The End for just $9.99. Or you get your first month free.
And while we're doing the cheap plug there for the network, also want to remind everybody the GRP is a product of www.gerweck.net. You can also listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio.
Check out the official t-shirt store for Gerwick and the Gerwick Report podcast at prowrestlingtees.com/Gerwick. 8 great designs and all t-shirts are just $17.99 plus shipping and handling. Or just visit prowrestlingtees.com and search Gerwick to find our store.
Boy, oh boy, every time I look at the YouTube channel, more and more subscribers. We're, almost 1,000 subscribers?
Yeah, dude, almost 1,000 subscribers. And I want to thank everybody out there that has taken the time to check out youtube.com/Gerwick.net. Almost 1,000 subscribers, like a couple away from 1,000 right now. And that is absolutely great out there for people to check out our content, check out our channel. So always check out youtube.com/Gerwick.net. Going to be adding some stuff up there from this podcast, the Body Slam podcast with Abby Green this past Monday, reviewing Monday Night Raw. So that's all coming up to the YouTube channel. And then I'm probably going to do another Raw deal episode shortly. So check it out, youtube.com/Gerwick.net. Like our videos, subscribe to our channel, spread the word about youtube.com/Gerwick.net. We definitely appreciate all of that.
And while we're plugging here, TeddyLong.com and TeddyPlayAlong on Twitter. You know, Teddy, your membership there, your followers just swelled up on Monday night. I think you're telling me, 2,000 new followers on there?
Well, I think about 5,000. Well, yeah, I was up at 8,000, and now I'm up at about 10,000. You're right. We had 2,000 brand new followers on Twitter. Right now, I think I'm at 10,200 followers.
Actually, last I look, it was 10,500 followers.
Okay.
At last glance. So you're still growing. You're still trending.
Yeah, I got that. Yeah, I'm looking at it now, too. Yeah, it's 10,500. You're exactly right.
And that's from Teddy being on that WWE TV.
Yeah, one night, 2,000 followers on Twitter. That's pretty amazing.
All right. So that's what I'm saying. Somebody out there likes me. So, I mean, if you can't use me, I don't know what to tell you.
And now, another classic Teddy Long moment.
Moments ago, it was seemed to be obvious that Jazz had her foot on the bottom rope before the referee's hand hit three, King.
Now we'll see all of this repeat.
Two and three. Yeah, well, you're right. I didn't see it. I guess the referee didn't see it either, but her foot was on the rope.
Yo, Jazz, let me holler at you, boo. You know, I saw what happened to you out there tonight. Not only did I see it, the whole world saw it. You were a victim of bigotry, you feel me? A victim of bias, you feel me? But I'm here to help you, sister. All you've got to do is align yourself with Theodore Long and Rodney Mack. And then you will start backing the Mack. And the other thing, player, is one thing you're gonna realize is not only when you start backing the Mack, then the whole world will know that the bitch is back. You feel me? This is how we roll.
Last podcast, we were talking about SmackDown going live, and I threw in the idea that maybe part of them going live with SmackDown was because of the declining ratings. We're seeing numbers like 1.5, 1.6, 1.7. At its heyday was 4.0. SmackDown was a strong show, and now we're reading that USA Network was not happy with the declining ratings. They had been pushing for a SmackDown going live, so... You know, Frank, as we said here on the show here, WWE can say, you know, ratings really doesn't matter, but at the end of the day, they certainly matter to USA Network.
Well, that's exactly what my man Abby Green said when we talked about this exact thing a couple months ago on the Raw Deal podcast. He mentioned that WWE and Vince McMahon may not care about the ratings, but the USA Network does. And, you know, I think it's actually the USA Network, if I'm not mistaken, that wanted that third hour of Monday Night Raw and also wanted the... you know, more than McMahon's to be on the show. So I guess pretty much it's whatever USA Network wants, the WWE is going to do. And I think it's kind of interesting that, you know, even though the show is going live on Tuesday nights, WWE is not getting any extra money for the show going live.
And let me throw in, too, we usually do the poll results at the end. But I know some people brought up that how can SmackDown be an equal to Raw if it's only 2 hours? You know, obviously you have Monday night Raw, 3 hours, then 2 hours on SmackDown Tuesday night. And we ran the poll at Gerwick.net. Should SmackDown expand to a weekly 3-hour show? And early on, the no's were coming out. But in the end, it was 64% of the readers out there at Gerwick.net want SmackDown to expand to a weekly live 3-hour format.
Really? Really?
Teddy, do you think them going live 3 hours would increase the viewership?
Well, yeah, I think so. If they've got something that the viewership wants to see, you know, it's not going to increase the viewership if they're just going to be watching the same thing. You know, if they're going to be watching the same guys that they saw on Raw on that Monday night, I feel that they've got to certainly regroup and get a lot of, you know, new talent and put on SmackDown, and they got to get some guys to get over there with those guys and try to get those guys over and make stars out of them. And, you know, I, like I said, I think their viewership would increase, but, you know, they got to do something about it, too. It's not going to increase with the same people.
Did those poll results shock you, Frank?
Yeah, they actually do. I think that's a horrible idea to make SmackDown a 3-hour show. I have a better idea. Let's make Raw 2 hours, and let's make SmackDown 2 hours, and go from there. You know, a lot of it, too, is that we're talking about just us at home viewing the show, saying, you know, Raw is too damn long. It's 3 hours, and then you want to put 3 hours of SmackDown. You're not thinking about the fan experience when you're going and you're sitting at these marathon tapings. It's horrible. If you go to SmackDown TV or Raw TV, you got to sit through these long-ass commercials when you're just sitting there doing nothing. And it's bad, you know what I'm saying? So if you're like Frank D, you're sitting there, you ain't spending no $5 on a Coke. So you're screwed. So I don't like that idea at all. They don't need to expand SmackDown in 3 hours. They need to keep SmackDown in 2 hours, and you need to keep let Raw go back to being 2 hours. I think it'll go a lot better. There have been a lot of the other guys that they're using right now that, you know, necessarily are not getting over. Then you have those guys for your superstars and your main event tapings and all that type of shit. But no, SmackDown does not need to be 3 hours. I'm very surprised that people want to see 3 hours of SmackDown. You're barely watching the show now. So why the hell would you want to watch 3 hours of it?
Yeah, I'm going to throw this out to you guys, too, because I think it was Taz that made this suggestion, and I want to see what you guys think. Obviously, leave SmackDown 2 hours live Tuesday night. His idea was to put NXT on from 8 to 9 Eastern, and then Raw would go from 9 to 11 back to a 2-hour format. What would you think of that overall? Would that maybe increase viewership a little bit?
I don't think it would, no. Because, you know, a lot of the casuals don't even watch NXT. So I don't think it would matter at all. I think if you give a more compelling, story-driven television show on Monday nights that has a little bit of an edge to it, and not necessarily go on TV-14, but a little bit of an edge in a PG environment, then you will have a good show that's going to bring in viewers. Okay? I don't think that's going to work. No.
What do you think, Teddy? NXT from 8 to 9, you think people would start watching the show before kind of lead into Raw?
Well, I don't know. You kind of got to look at it like this. You know, a lot of people, you know, like myself, I've never had the chance to see NXT. I don't have the network, so I haven't had it. Well, I've got it now, but in the past, I haven't had a chance to watch NXT, and there are a lot of people that have never seen it, too. So I think maybe when they first started it, first, you know, kick it off, you know, you probably get some good viewership because there are a lot of people that want to know what NXT is all about. You know, it'd be like brand new to them. But what are you going to do to continue? You know, how long is that thrill going to last? So that's my point. You know, I think everything that's brand new might take off for a minute, you know, because people want to see what's really going on. But, you know, what do you do in the long run?
I think right there, Frank, he just had some breaking news. Did Teddy just say he has a network now?
I think he just said that, yes.
Breaking news?
Yes, because of my inspirational speech a couple weeks ago. In which I pretty much talked about the goodness of having the WWE Network for just $9.99 and all the classic content they have on there. Teddy Long has finally jumped ship and he's got the WWE Network now. So me and Teddy are on equal footing here. You're the outcast, Steve.
Wow. Boy, I guess I'm really behind the times now. Even Teddy has
and
the network.
Also, and Steve, you're behind the Iron Curtain if you don't get it.
Well, I'll say this. I do plan on getting the network for the Money in the Bank match or the pay-per-view itself. I do want to see it. So if I'm impressed, I'll probably stay with it, and I'll pay, what is it, Frank, $9.99 a month?
It's Steve, just $9.99. That's all it is.
I had a little talk with my financial advisor, and I think he said, I think it's safe for me to plunk down the $9.99 a month. So
you can do that. I mean, it's just $9.99, Steve. That's all it is, man. You'd be like Frank D. You order the network, just like with like Teddy. We have a network now, and we all tune in to Money in the Bank, and we watch some burials.
Well, I think you were selling me on the all the white boy challenge stuff that was on there. I could probably spend a whole day just watching that.
Hell yeah, dude, binge on that shit. I'm telling you, it's funny. That's the Teddy Long that I wanted to see on, you know, heal up on Stephanie Monday night. Be like, that's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see Teddy go back to his roots. You know, that's what I want to see. That's one of the biggest problems I had. Like I said before, I had with the segment was is Teddy didn't get his heat back. He just shook his head and walked out. I'm like, come on, man. You got to turn around and pimp slap or some shit. And that's what you do. So I'm not leaving it.
I'm not leaving until I talk to that other one, Shane McMahon.
Exactly. That's exactly. Well, that, where is the grandpa? Where is Vince McMahon? Let's have him come out. Where is Triple Schnoz? Let's have him come out. Let me talk to him. But now nothing. Just Teddy walks away and shakes his head, and he walks out the damn door. And I'm like, that's it. That's all we're gonna see here.
That was it.
That's it for now,
Frank. They could always change their mind.
Oh, shit. They probably won't.
No,
I don't believe they will either.
Yeah, I kind of think watching Teddy walk out the door was the wave goodbye to you. But, hey, we've been wrong before, so maybe.
I hope I'm wrong in this. I hope that at the end of the day, they bring everybody back, and there's this, like, a big announcement. It probably would be at a pay-per-view or something. Or who knows? They might bring Teddy back to TV the night of the draft, where they will make the decision on who's going to be the general manager of SmackDown, which it won't be Teddy. It won't be Bischoff. It won't be Laurinaitis. It won't be anybody from the past. It'll be somebody new, and that'll be probably, you know, Shane McMahon, and he really ain't new. So there you go.
Maybe it'll be Byron Saxton.
Who?
Byron Saxton.
Oh, you mean Carlton Banks. It's not unusual to be loved by me. It's not unusual to have fun with anyone.
I had a chance to see him, too. I told him, I said, they missed the boat with you. I said, I wanted them to hit you with that cake so bad when they had that cake out there. I said, God damn it, they missed it. Oh, yeah, I told him.
Did you also tell him, no, never mind.
You didn't tell him about Frank's raving reviews here on the podcast?
Oh, it took me all day to sit down and tell him all that shit.
I'll tell you what, on that happy note, real quickly, let's pause for the cause. We'll be back shortly with more of the GRP right after this.
Visit our YouTube channel, search Gerwick Report Podcast, and subscribe.
Hey, what's up, players? This is Teddy Long. And if you want to look like a true player, then you need to get yourself a Gerwick Report Podcast T-shirt. That's right. Get yourself the Gerwick Report Podcast T-shirt, the same one that I'm wearing and sporting and looking good in it each and every day. And if you want to get one of them, all you got to do is go to Pro Wrestling Tees. That's ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. Get your T-shirt today, and you can look as pretty as me. Holla.
Marty Daniels here, letting you know the Gerwick Report Podcast is available via Gerwick.net. Download today on iTunes. Also can be streamed on Stitcher and TuneIn Radio.
For all of your pro wrestling news, check out Gerwick.net, your number one source for wrestling news since 1997.
All right, we're back here on the GRP, episode 134. All previous editions are available at gerwick.net, and also check us out on YouTube. Check out our YouTube channel, subscribe, and also listen to us, if you can, on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Simple apps to download on your mobile devices, and you can stream us whenever you want, wherever you want, on whatever device you're on. So definitely check those out. I guess over the weekend, one of the biggest stories broke at the end of the week and early into this week was that Brock Lesnar made a lot of waves here, that he was announced at the UFC pay-per-view. It leaked during the day that he was in negotiations for another fight in UFC, and it was announced at the last pay-per-view over the weekend that Brock Lesnar would be fighting at UFC 200, and it had all kinds of ripples effects, like what does this mean for his future WWE? And then wisely, WWE later in the evening did put out that he's taking a little break from his WWE tenure. He's going to fight UFC 200 against Mark Hunt, later announced, and that he'd be returning in time for SummerSlam in August. Frank, what does this ultimately mean? Is this something that UFC fans should be looking forward to? And what was your reaction to the news?
My reaction was I was shocked. You know, I was shocked because the guy is a WWE guy now, but he's going back to UFC, which is something he said he would never do. He said he was done with it, and all of a sudden now he's going back there. But I'm like this, if you're Brock Lesnar and you can pimp these people into giving you as much money as you want, why not do it? You know what I'm saying? So if he goes over there and he's successful, hey, that might open up something in the future. But I'm understanding here, though, Steve, that this all goes back to when Ronda Rousey appeared at WrestleMania 31. It was kind of a trade-off here. So that might be why Brock Lesnar is doing this UFC 200 show to begin with. But I also want to say this as well. It's also come out, too, that supposedly now CM Punk is going to make his debut at UFC 202 in August. So I'm kind of thinking to myself, Brock Lesnar is making his return before CM Punk even makes his debut. You know what I'm saying? Isn't that kind of ironic there? So I think that Brock Lesnar might be putting a little bit of a making CM Punk a kind of an afterthought when it comes to UFC. But nonetheless, if Brock Lesnar can make a whole lot of money, which you say he's making a shitload of money doing this, why not do it? So I'm all, you know, I'm happy for Brock to go out there and make as much money as he can. He's obviously, you know, a very good talent, not only for WWE, but also for UFC. But it also, to me, shows desperation on UFC's part that they would have to go and get a WWE guy to come back and, you know, headline one of their shows.
And then I'll touch in on that, too, you know. And I think Brock is probably just pretty much done. Well, I wouldn't say he's done because I don't know. But, you know, Brock was never really a big fan of coming back doing wrestling. I think Brock came back because he got a nice, chunk of money. But I think he may be pretty much done with this wrestling part. I don't know. I'm not saying that's it. But, why you can go to UFC and make a whole bunch of money, you know, then why come back? You know what I mean? I don't know.
Very strange, as you said. I don't know if it reeks of desperation, but it kind of came out of nowhere. And you know, too, Frank, the one that was really odd was Errol Hawani, which is a UFC MMA reporter, broke the news during the day. I mean, he had it before any of the pro wrestling websites had it, that Lesnar was in negotiations for a UFC return, a fight, and then they revoke his credentials. I guess before the show ended, he had his credentials revoked, could not be a part of the post-game interviews they do after the event. And I don't know, is that just a dangerous precedent to say, hey, you know, we don't like this media member, we don't like him scooping us, so he's just kicked out of the event?
He was buried, Steve.
Yeah, he was buried.
He was buried. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The guy was buried. The guy was buried for simply kind of, I would say, doing his job.
Doing his job. Yeah.
I don't I don't see what the big deal is. It's not like, okay, how many stories does Meltzer talk about when it comes to, you know, professional wrestling, sports entertainment? How many stories did he break? Have they ever banned Meltzer from attending one of the shows? No. So I don't understand what the deal is here with this guy here being banned for a lifetime by UFC and Dana White telling him to go to Bellator and all this other shit. I think it's stupid, man. I think it's stupid and it's childish and petty. And it's like, okay, so Brock Lesnar's coming back and he's going to debut at UFC 200. Okay, so how is that a problem with the guy leaking the story? I mean, other people have been speculating about it, but they single out this one guy. and saying that he's negative and he brings nothing but negativity to the show. So get the hell out of here. You're banned for life. I think that's bullshit, really. If you have somebody there that's passionate about your product and passionate about the industry of MMA, why would you want to make that guy an enemy? I wouldn't do that. I think that's stupid. So hopefully, like he said, cooler heads will prevail and he'll be back there. But I don't know. I mean, Dana White seems like an asshole, so he's probably going to be like, well, you know, screw you, you're gone, and that's my decision.
Yeah, Teddy, did you ever hear about Vince or a promoter over the years getting real mad at these insiders for breaking some of their stories?
Well, they definitely don't appreciate that, and they don't want that, you know what I mean? So that's why, you know, a lot of things that are done now, you know, they don't tell nobody. They don't tell you nothing, so you don't have a clue about anything that you're doing. He's real critical of that. You know what I mean? He certainly gets mad at you. I think there was a writer that they fired one time. They found out that he leaked something, leaked the finishes to a pay-per-view before it happened. And I think they fired him immediately. So, he certainly frowns on that. He don't like that.
I will say, you know, Frank, I've never had any heat with WWE directly for breaking stories, but a few years ago I did have some heat with TNA. I broke a couple different stories. One of their surprises was Sting coming back, as I remember, and I, of course, put it on the website ahead of time, and, I got some heat for that. But, I mean, as far as, like, banning me from a show or anything like that, nothing like that, but they didn't appreciate it. I will say that.
Well, you're being nicer, see, because I remember when it happened, you know, and not only did they, you know, they had heat with Gerwig.net and particularly the Gerwig Report hotline at the time, because they banned all TNA talents from even affiliating with us or talking to us, period. So that heat with TNA lasted for years. I think that heat with TNA probably still is going on right now, simply because you broke the story about Sting being the new face of the company when he had already been there previously. Or, you know, the ill-fated story about Jeff Jarrett, which I'm not going to go into right here. You know, it's a lot of shit that has happened over the years where there's been heat on the other side, and people wonder, like, well, okay, well, why do we come on here and talk about TNA the way we do? Well, there's a lot of history there. That's the reason why I come on here and talk about TNA the way I do. Oh, by the way, I said on the last podcast that I was going to watch Impact Wrestling and give a review this week. Well, you know what? I put it to record on my DVR, and then I got a message saying, I couldn't record the show because you don't have the channel. Oh, damn. So I was like, well, I guess I'm screwed. I can't do an Impact Wrestling review this week. No biggie.
You didn't upgrade your package?
Well, no, Steve. I'm going to spend that money on the WWE Network for just $9.99. So that's not, I'm not upgrading for one damn channel. Absolutely not. No, I will not.
Yeah, I broke a couple of those backstage stuff that they were teasing during the day, and I had gotten the word who was backstage, and I trust the source, so I ran with it. And a couple of times, they didn't like it. And, you know, I'm a news reporter. You know, I didn't report the Teddy Long situation because I had respect for him and WWE, you know. And it was great to see a surprise for a change, you know. I mean, we knew ahead of time, but it was still great to see him. But as far as, like, you know, TNA, if somebody's backstage says, hey, you know, Sting's here. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I thought maybe some of my readers might want to know that.
Well, but you're running a website. It's business, right? You're not running a website for free. It's business. So if you have a story there that's newsworthy, I would think as a journalist, you would run the story.
Exactly. I mean, I trust the source. It's not a questionable source. It was somebody I definitely trusted, and I would never reveal who it was. And, yeah, I mean, that's fair business. I mean, that's what I'm a reporter. I report news. And so that was all legitimate, and I don't think I did anything unethical. I don't think Errol Hawani did anything unethical. I mean, they were going to announce it that day that Brock was coming in. So what was the point? So he scooped him by a few hours. I mean, so what? I mean, he was just doing his job. I mean, honestly, Teddy, you know, we knew about it ahead of time. You were going to be on Raw, and I was really happy to see that it had not leaked out. I was wondering if Dave Meltzer or one of the other insiders somehow had the story that, you know, oh, former general manager SmackDown backstage, and then I would be getting tweets or text messages and say, hey, can you confirm that Teddy Long's going to be on Raw Monday night? I didn't know what I was going to say. I guess I would just have played, you know, played dumb, but it was great to see a surprise. And, you know, I don't know, Teddy, how did you do it? It was a surprise for Monday night. Nobody broke the story. Nobody had it. And, you know, for once, we actually had a surprise in wrestling.
Well, I did just like they said. You don't tell anybody. You know, and if you do tell somebody, you tell people that you know you can trust, and they're not going to go behind your back and leak the shit. So that's how I pulled it off.
And now I guess, Frank, we're going to – there's rumors about UFC stars coming to WWE events or television. I don't know, Frank. We know the crossover with wrestlers going into MMA, mixed martial arts, but other than maybe Ronda Rousey, is there somebody from the UFC side that could show up on a WWE event and really mean something?
You know, Steve, honestly, I really don't know. I'm not really into UFC or MMA, so it would be really stupid of me to speak on that. I really can't answer that question. Honestly, I don't know. I just know that their fans look at fans of professional wrestling a certain way, and the professional wrestling fans look at them a certain way. So usually those two brands don't really mix together very well. But nonetheless, if it's good business for both, I guess it'll work.
Yeah, that seems like strange bedfellows there, Teddy. Vince McMahon and Dana White doing business together. It seems very strange.
I'm kind of like Frank. You know, I don't know. I don't even know Dana White, and I don't know that much too much about that UFC either. So, I mean, I couldn't even comment on it either.
Well, I guess from what we've already seen, Frank, we saw Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania, and already now we're hearing maybe rumors that she'll get a chance to do the match. Would you want to see Ronda Rousey in a match against one of the WWE, I guess I can't say divas anymore, would you want to see them, Ronda Rousey against one of the women in WWE?
To be honest with you, Steve, I have no interest in seeing that, to be honest. No. Because, you know what, I don't want to be like one of these assholes that come out and say, oh, it's fake, but she's doing something that's a lot realer than what they're doing over in WWE, so that's kind of like a demotion to me. So, no, I wouldn't want to see that. I think the time to do it would have been last year when they could have done it, and they didn't do it. So
before she had her first loss, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Right. Yeah. I think her star is. I mean, still bright, but it was definitely deflated a little bit.
Yeah, she's taking a dip. Yeah. It's cold right now. A lot of people aren't really talking about her like they were. So I think the time to do it would have been, they went from WrestleMania, and the perfect opportunity to do it would have been SummerSlam. Of course, they couldn't do it because she was under contract to UFC, so that wasn't going to happen. But I think they really missed the boat on that one. They would have done it when they could have done it, and they didn't. So I don't really see right now where we're at with the women's division in WWE, I don't really see where she fits in. And that's just me. And, of course, somebody out there will disagree with me, and somebody out there will thumbs down the video and whatever, do whatever you feel. But I just feel that it's not going to work at this time, no.
I got the idea. Stephanie McMahon versus Ronda Rousey, managed by Teddy Long. How's that? Is that a good storyline?
It could have worked, a year ago. But once again, like I said, it's not going to work now. So it won't work. There's just, when it comes to Ronda Rousey, there's just no buzz anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I used to, when I was on social media, I would see her name, pop up all over the place. I don't see it anymore. That is what it is. And like I said before, there's rumors right now that the reason why Brock's even appearing at UFC 200 is because of the favor that Dana White did having Ronda Rousey appear at WrestleMania 31. So there you go. I don't really... I don't really know how, unless they do some business together, once again, like I said, I don't really see how anybody over there isn't even going to come on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown Live on Tuesdays.
Teddy, you were there Monday night. You were just talking about Brock. Maybe he's at the end of his career. I don't know. What do they do with Brock? Obviously, he's going to have a match at SummerSlam. Who do you book him against for the big SummerSlam main event, or actually on the show?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he's already basically beat everybody there, so I have no idea. I don't know who you would book him with.
Frank, is if he would happen to lose against Mark Hunt, which some people have speculated he could lose, and obviously he's also at the end of his MMA run as well, is he damaged goods if he gets knocked out, say, in the second round with Mark Hunt? Is he damaged goods to WWE?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, because right now the way Brock Lesnar has been booked in WWE, it's been perfection. He's been booked as this unstoppable force, this monster that can't be beat. Suplex City, bitch. That's pretty much what it is, right? So if he goes over there and he gets dropped in the first or second round, hell yeah, dude, that's going to do a huge blow to his credibility over in WWE, because he'll be the guy that got beat in UFC. So, yeah, I mean, he got, you know, he can come over here and do this quote-unquote fake stuff, but when he goes over there and does the real stuff, he gets his ass whooped. So it would definitely hurt him, big time.
It's an interesting opponent because certainly he's a guy that can knock Brock Lesnar out, and you wonder if he does, you know, what does that mean for him long-term? But then again, he's already got SummerSlam booked. I don't know, Frank, let me throw it back to you. Who do you book Brock Lesnar against for SummerSlam?
Well, you know something, Steve? Here's the thing. He's beaten, like Teddy Long just said, he's beaten everybody on the roster. So I don't want him to go back to John Cena. I don't want to see him wrestle Dean Ambrose again because that was horrible. The only person on the roster right now that I can see him having a match with that I think would be a big deal because we haven't seen it would be Brock Lesnar versus Randy Orton or Brock Lesnar versus Bray Wyatt. But Bray Wyatt's been out. So how do you, you know, once again, how do you build this guy back up? So that's the only way I can see that working. But other than that, I mean, there's nobody else I want to see him wrestle with. I mean, I don't want to see Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles. That does nothing for me. So, I don't know.
Although it is a new matchup. It's something fresh.
It's a new matchup. It's something fresh. But that's truly David versus Goliath. That really is, I don't know. I don't necessarily know if you want to put AJ Styles in that type of a predicament. Where
buried.
He will truly be buried.
Buried.
Yeah, he will be buried. Just like this past Monday night on Raw. Remember I said the Frank D. burial list, right? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, this past Monday on Raw, AJ Styles and John Cena have their little, you know, promo exchange. And I'm sorry, yeah, AJ Styles delivered that line. Guys like you bury guys like me, but John Cena completely destroyed him on the mic. Because John Cena brought up a lot of shit about AJ Styles not being able to beat Roman Reigns. He's, you know, had the Royal Rumble match. He did nothing. John Cena completely buried AJ Styles on Monday night. Okay? That's the bottom line. He got buried. I don't know. It's just kind of like it was one-sided, you know. It's like John Cena had all this good material. AJ Styles didn't have a lot. Maybe that was by design. Kind of reminds me a couple years ago with Kevin Nash and CM Punk and their promo exchange. CM Punk had all the cool shit to say. And Kevin Nash says, well, a guy wrote a promo for him, but he wanted to write stuff from his diesel years. And not from all the witty shit he used to say when he was in WCW. Yeah, this week I'm going to agree with the IWC. Yeah, AJ Styles and company were buried this week. They were buried. The club got the win. Yes. The New Day were buried. And the club was buried all on the same night. They were buried. Absolutely. WWE did a video package with Roman Reigns. And he was buried because he wasn't even there, but he was buried because they did something stupid, Steve. They actually panned to the audience during the promo, and really nobody was even watching the damn screen. So nobody cared about what Roman Reigns had to say. Buried.
Poor Roman Reigns.
Yeah, buried.
You're the champion, and you're still buried.
Buried.
But I tell you what, I know you're going to say he would be buried, but, you know, Teddy, of all the people that, you know, Frank just rolled off as a possible matchup for Brock Lesnar, the one that appeals to me the most would be Brock versus AJ Styles.
Well, I don't think Vince would ever do that because Vince is not high on little bitty guys, and I don't think that he would think that that would draw any money, Brock Lesnar against AJ Styles. I just don't see that happening at all. Not at all. I mean, like I said, I never say never because I've said things in the past, and all of a sudden they did come to light that I thought would never happen, but my personal opinion, I just don't see Brock Lesnar and AJ Styles not doing that. There's no interest in that for me either.
Buried. It'd just be a burial.
Dude, it would be an absolute burial.
You would know AJ would lose, right?
Of course AJ would lose.
Well, then he'd be buried. He's already lost how many pay-per-views in a row, so he's probably going to lose against John Cena.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know, Steve. He's going to beat Cena at Money in the Bank. That's obvious. He's going to beat him. And then Cena is going to win the next match after that, and the one after that, and the one after that. So then that's how.
Well, then you can build him up for Brock then, right? If he's going to win some pay per views.
You can build him up for Brock, and then Brock can slaughter AJ. I'm telling you, AJ Styles is already on the phone with TNA trying to get back in the company because he already knows the writing is on the wall here. He will continue to be buried.
Well, then again, I don't know what Brock's contract is, but, I mean, how much longer is WWE going to use Brock Lesnar in the future?
They will use...
AJ, AJ is a full-time worker for Vince right now.
AJ's a full-time worker, and from what I've read, you know, recently from a lot of the big guys on the internet here, the smart ones, they say that Vince is very high on AJ Styles.
So well, there you go.
I don't think that, you know, Vince is very high on AJ Styles. That's all fine and dandy.
Today, anyway.
That's great. Yeah, exactly.
The wind changes direction. And
exactly. But as the wind changes direction. But AJ Styles, I will say this. AJ Styles, when it comes to Money in the Bank, this dream match, because they're building it as a dream match between Styles and John Cena, Styles will win that first match. But the rematches, John Cena is going to win. And John Cena will completely bury the club and decimate the club, just like John Cena buried the Nexus. Because remember, at one point, Vince McMahon was really high on Wade Barrett, too. And we all see how that turned out. Yeah, we all see how that turned out. So the burial is on right now. The shovels are out, and everybody is being buried. Everybody on that damn show, you know, on Monday night was buried. That's pretty much how it goes. And I don't want to go into a full rant like last week about burial. I mean, you know, a lot of people liked it. Some people didn't like it. They say, you know, well, what's going to happen when, you know, what's this guy going to say when AJ Styles loses the match against John Cena? He's not going to lose. He's going to win. He's going to win the first one. But after that, he's not going to do shit.
Interesting. I don't know, Teddy. I'm not as confident as Frank. I mean, I would think AJ would win. I mean, Cena doesn't really benefit by beating AJ, but
if he beat AJ in the first round, there's nothing for a rematch. You know what I mean?
True.
Like Frank says, AJ Styles wins his first match, then there's a build-up for a rematch, you know, for something bigger. But I think when it all boils down at the end of the day on the big stage, which may be SummerSlam or whatever, then that's where John Cena will take the win.
Yeah, what is the July pay-per-view, Frank? I think I asked you last time. I don't remember what is it. Vengeance or what is it?
I don't know. I think it might be Battleground. I'm not sure. Do they even still do Vengeance? I haven't even heard that name in a while. That's a oldie right there.
Did they do Elimination Chamber last year?
They came up with that. It was a house show at first, and then they made it into a network special. But the Elimination Chamber, dude, come on. I don't want to see that. I want to see War Games.
Well, no, I'm not saying they would do it. I'm trying to think what they did last year for about this time of year. Because, I mean, July is always a throwaway pay-per-view anyway. It was, what, years ago, Fully Loaded. And
yeah.
I mean, it's never really meant anything. It's just one of those, like you said, in between the summer and leading up to SummerSlam. So
yeah, but I'm just saying, though, you know, when it comes down to, like, Battleground and all that stuff, if you're going to have Battleground, then you got a faction here taking on the club. You know, whatever they do. I mean, there's rumors going around right now as far as, you know, if they want to expand the club, who might be joining the club. And, you know, it's not confirmed or anything, but they're talking about bringing maybe Samoa Joe up to join the club or Shinsuke Nakamura, you know, joining the club. I mean, Finn Balor might be the guy, but, you know, you don't know yet. So, I mean, NXT take over the end of tonight, and I think we shall know where they go after this with Finn Balor.
Hey, Teddy, did you run into Lana and Rusev at Raw?
I didn't see Lana, but I did see Rusev. And I talked to him pretty briefly. He was real nice to me. You know, I'd never met him before. So, you know, he seemed to be a pretty nice guy.
They have confirmed that they're going to be married on September the 2nd. But, I mean, really no surprise. They've been living together with Frank for a long time, but in Nashville, that they've been together since the NXT days. So I guess officially in September they'll tie the knot.
Yeah, well, Vince McMahon was kind of wondering, how does a guy like Rusev get a girl like Lana? And I'll tell you how he got her. He gave her that D. That's how he got her. All right, and she got hooked, and that's all it is to it.
I wonder about Cody Rhodes. How did he get eaten there? That always made me scratch my head. And then Teddy was saying what? Matt Stryker was one time with Crystal Marshall?
Yeah, she lived with Matt Stryker for almost a year.
How does that stuff happen?
You tell me. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, Teddy, did you ever meet Muhammad Ali?
I met him one time. Me and Ron Simmons were together, and that's back in the day when I was managing Doom. And we met him in the airport, and there's a picture out there somewhere. I think one of the WCW guys, somebody, but we took a picture with Muhammad Ali. He was on the little cart, that you ride around in. And at that time, Ron and Butch were the tag team champions, and we did have the belt with us. And we took the belt out, and Muhammad Ali took it and put it in his lap, and he took a picture with both of us. But it's out there somewhere. I have no idea where it is, but we did get a chance. I did get a chance to meet him.
Obviously, Frank, he's the greatest boxer of all time, self-proclaimed, but certainly had an impressive record. But I think a lot of people forget that he was involved in wrestling. What do you think of his legacy overall in professional wrestling?
I think his legacy is very big. I mean, he was at the first WrestleMania. He was a guy who took on, you know, Antonio Inoki at one point, too. I mean, Muhammad Ali, you know, he was cutting promos. Like, these guys cut promos today. So he's very charismatic, and he went through a lot of shit, Steve, you know, dealing with the Parkinson's and all that stuff. So, you know, he didn't look too good the last, you know, couple of times that he made appearances, and it was very, very rare that he would make appearances. So I'm just, you know, I'm glad that he's no longer having to suffer with that. You know, he can finally rest in paradise pretty much.
Absolutely. Our condolences to the Muhammad Ali family and friends. And we also should note we lost Kimbo Slice. I don't know, Teddy, ever run into Kimbo Slice?
No, I never did get a chance to meet him. Not at all. I didn't know him at all.
I know, Frank, neither one of us are really big MMA fans, but as I said before, a character. Did a little bit with professional wrestling. I remember what did some Japan stuff as well. So acknowledge the passing of Kimbo Slice.
Yeah, man, you know, I knew about Kimbo on YouTube when I saw a lot of his street fights back in the day. So I'm not really the biggest MMA guy, but I knew who he was and saw a lot of his shit. And this guy was, you know what, he would go out there and lay hands on you. You know what I'm saying? And he's one of the dudes that if he was to come out here, oh, hell no. You know, that'd be one dude that I would not want to screw with at all. I would not want to mess with him at all. So, yeah, it was a shock to hear that he passed away. And, you know, it's like, you know, they die in threes, you know what I'm saying? So to hear about his passing right after the passing of Muhammad Ali, and these are two guys, you know, one was the greatest boxer of all time, and here's another guy who was an MMA fighter. It was very, very shocking.
2016, not a good year for celebrities.
2016 has been a horrible year for celebrities. Just, you know, how many people have we lost this year?
Wow.
I mean, we've lost so many of the greats. I just don't get it. I mean, you know, you lose China, you lose Prince, and then you lose Muhammad Ali. You know, that's crazy. I mean, one was one of the greatest females ever in the history of the wrestling business. Another guy was one of the most iconic musicians ever in music, and then you lose the greatest boxer of all time. That's kind of crazy right there.
Very, very sad. So we want to just send our condolences to the friends and family of Muhammad Ali and Kimbo Slice. I think I read where Kimbo Slice has like 6 kids, too. That's even a bigger tragedy, Frank, is these kids don't have their father now.
Yeah, that's horrible, man. That's really bad. You know, cutting all the bullshit here that we do on the podcast, you know, because I know, you know, a lot of it here is it's entertainment. When death strikes like that, you know, and it's really, you know, untimely, you know, it's just crazy. You know, death does not discriminate with ace, you know, age, race, creed, or color. It don't matter, you know. And these 6, you know, children of his, you know, don't have a father anymore. And to die at 42 years old, that's young, man. That's really young.
Yeah.
And they're saying, you know, they don't know why he died, but there's a rumor going around that it had to do with heart failure. That's crazy right there to me. That's really weird.
Yeah, I think I read where they just told him that he needed a transplant, heart transplant. So go to the doctor and get checked.
You know, they also were talking too about when it goes back to Muhammad Ali. You know, somebody actually mentioned that the family should have donated his brain for research.
Well, that's a hard decision to make, though.
Absolutely, I mean, it is. Yes.
You know, that's tough.
I mean,
just like donating your body. Oregon sometimes is a tough decision, and let alone your brain. That's tough, but I can understand where people would say, you know, it would be a great study to study his brain, but that's a tough call on the family side.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yes, and I mean, I don't know if I can make that decision either.
Poll results with WWE returning to the brand split. Should WWE have 1 or 2 world champions? We debated this, I think, on the last podcast. Very split, Frank, right down the middle almost. In fact, it was bordering between 50-50 for most of the poll. But in the end, the two champions won 54% to 46%. So slightly the universe favors two champions.
It's the most obvious choice, Steve, to go with would be to have two world champions, whether that be the SmackDown champion or the Raw champion. I mean, I don't know where they're going to go with this, but I don't think they're going to bring the big gold belt back. If they're talking about new era, it's kind of like what me and Abby Green were talking about, you know, it can't be the big gold belt. I'd like it to be big gold, but once again, that championship was just never on the same level of the WWE title, so I don't really see how they can bring it back.
Yeah, as you said before, too, Teddy, logistically, it's tough to have one champion represent both sides.
Yeah, but, you know, well, that's what I said, you know, and then I think it's better that each show has its own champion. I mean, I think to me there's more interest there.
I want to congratulate the newest member of the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame. Is Joey Styles. 72% of those voted Joey Styles in the Hall of Fame. Certainly the voice of ECW, the Paul Heyman, ECW, the Oh My God, and all the blood and gore that he'd called. Frank, what do you think? Joey Styles a Hall of Fame announcer?
I think Joey Styles is a Hall of Fame announcer, absolutely. I mean, the guy carried ECW on his own as far as announcing. And I'm just not understanding here how you can have Joey Styles on staff, and yet this guy is not doing any type of TV show for you guys. He's not doing Superstars main event. He's not doing Raw. He's not doing SmackDown. I mean, he couldn't do any hashtags on Raw like Michael Cole does. I don't get that one at all, man. I mean, you got him on staff. He's working on a website, but yet you got Byron Saxton on my TV every week. I don't get that.
What do you think, Teddy? Is Joey Styles a Hall of Famer?
Yes, sir. He certainly is a Hall of Famer, man. I had a chance to talk to him, and when he was there, you know, during the TV broadcast, what a nice guy. Super nice guy, man. So, yeah, I certainly think he deserves to be in the Gerwick Hall of Fame, and I'm congratulating him as of right now.
We had a question for Teddy from Hot Rod 276. He says, what did you think of Jerry the King Lawler leaving in 2001? And do you know what led to the firing of the Cat?
No, I don't have any idea what happened with the Cat. I remember her being there, and I think she just something that they wanted her to do, and I don't think she wanted to do it, if I'm correct. I may not be correct, because I don't remember. That's been quite a while. But I met her. She was nice. She's a, you know, nice girl to work with and everything, but, you know, I don't think she just really wanted to have anything to do with wrestling. And with Lawler, you know what I mean? I don't know. You know, with him, he's a great announcer. So I think, you know, he kind of left because of the girls. You know, I think he was kind of upset with them because they did let her go. And I think that's why he left. So evidently, I guess after him and her split up, I guess he kind of understood what, you know, he had done. And so he probably made up his mind to go back and start working for Vince and, you know, not let that stand in the way of him and a job.
Yeah, Frank, I remember Lawler quit because of the Cat, but do you remember why they fired the Cat?
I don't remember, no. I just know that he showed up with her to the headquarters there in Sanford, and they had some type of a meeting, and I know that they let her go, and he went in there to try to fight for a job, and he ended up quitting too. And that's why he wasn't there during the invasion angle.
The Mamba Kitchen asked the obvious question for Teddy here. If the brand split goes through and Teddy is invited back to full-time general manager of SmackDown, will he be allowed to also be a threesome here on the GRP?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how they feel about their talent, WWE superstars doing the podcast. I hear rumors that they don't like that. They don't want anybody that's on staff doing podcasts. So I don't know. But if they do, if something does happen and I have to go back and I have to leave the podcast, I certainly will miss you two guys, but, you know, we'll just wait and see. I don't even want to say anything like that until I finally find out what's really going on.
Yeah, I think we know the answer to that one, don't we, Frank?
Yeah.
We would not want him on this show.
Exactly. But you know what? That's business. So, of course, I'd want Teddy to go out there and make as much money as he can. So it's business, you know what I'm saying? So I don't. It wouldn't be personal to me at all. It's just business.
Oh, definitely not personal. It's just, you know, the WWE stance would be they would not want him on our show. We know that.
Well, damn, Steve. I mean, I don't understand why they wouldn't want him on the show. I mean, I talk glowingly about them every single time we do a podcast. I even plug the network for $9.99 every single week.
How much is it?
It's $9.99, Steve.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I'll have to remember that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I do that.
And on this show, you know, that I did with you guys since I've been on it, I've never said anything bad about the WWE. You know, I've always told the truth. I really appreciate Vince McMahon giving me the opportunity that he gave me and stuff. And I you know, I owe him for that. 15 years he kept me there with the company. I ran SmackDown for 9 years. So Vince don't put you out there because he likes you. He puts you out there because he knows you can make him money. But it's always good for him to like you. That's a big help for you. So, you know, like I said, I don't know what's going to happen, so we just have to wait and see.
I hope you get your heat back today. I hope that, you know, when you do come back to WWE television, if you do, it's the old Teddy Long from 2003. Down with the brown and thugging and bugging. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see Teddy Long, you know, whimpering away with a cell between his leg and going through the damn door. I want to see Teddy Long come out there and go after that, you know, as you call Trish back in the day, Snow White.
That he made the biggest mistake of his life by getting in our business earlier by running down to the ring. He going to save that little Snow White Trish.
I want to see you do the same damn thing as Seth McMahon and, you know, get your heat back. I don't want to see you, you know, basically punked out.
Well, we just have to wait and see what they want to do, player.
We've got a couple of questions here real quickly from Bruce. You wanted to ask Teddy Long his opinion of the 2002 Tough Enough winner, Linda Miles. Do you remember her, Teddy? Linda Miles back in the
day? Yeah, I remember her. She stayed there for a while. Then I think she went to TNA, and then she started dating Scott Steiner and stuff. So I don't remember a whole lot about her. You know, I mean, she's a nice girl and everything, and she tried, you know, to do her thing in professional wrestling. But I never did talk to her much either, so I really don't know a whole lot about her.
Well, I can remember, Frank, very athletic, but just never went anywhere in the business.
Dude, you're talking about Shaniqua.
Shaniqua,
yeah,
yes.
That's what they called her. She used to be the manager of the Bashams. They were doing this kind of like, some kind of bondage gimmick or something back in the day. But, yeah, dude, I heard, you know, at the time when she was there, one of the reasons why she was released is because I heard that she was a real bitch backstage. And that's what caused her to be... you know, excommunicated from the WWE. It's kind of the same thing as we've been talking here, because we had the question earlier about, you know, the cat and why she was released. And a lot of it has to do with Vince McMahon ending the right to censor angle, and also because she was just so negative backstage. You know, a lot of people just apparently didn't like her.
Yeah, I always heard Linda was difficult to deal with backstage, and that's certainly not going to make you any friends when you're a newbie in the business.
Exactly.
And then Bruce has one comment here. Hey, Frankster, if you see this, do you
think
the Frankster has a hey, Frankster? Do you think wrestlers need burial insurance?
You know what? I tell you what. Yeah, Bruce, they damn sure do need burial insurance. Yeah, they do.
You can start a new business, burial insurance for wrestlers.
Exactly, they do. You know, they need it that way. They need a union. Because at the end of the day, you got John Cena back, you got Roman Reigns there, and the shovels are out. I'm telling you, it's 2016, it's time for burials, man. It's on now. It's on, like, neck bone. It's on and cracking. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, they do need burial insurance. I like that. That's good.
And as always, if you want to contact the show, you can always tweet me at Gerwick, and we're also at Gerwick Report on Twitter. And as we wrap with you, Teddy, go ahead and plug your social media and what you got coming up on your schedule.
Well, you can always find me at TeddyLong.com. The Twitter is at TeddyPlayerLong, Instagram, TeddyLongWrestling. And I'm going to be this Saturday in Clewiston, I think that's right, Clewiston, Clewiston, Florida, with Wrestling Evolution. Be there along with the Boogeyman and the Fighting Evolution Wrestling Champion, J.B. Cool.
Awesome. So definitely check that out. And as always, we appreciate you listening to the Gerwick Report podcast. Stay tuned for the next edition of the GRP.
Holla, 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 players.